Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. Proverbs, chapter 16. This is God's word. To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this. They will not go unpunished. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. The lips of a king speak as an oracle, and his mouth should not betray justice. Honest scales and balances are from the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of his making. Kings detest wrongdoing, for a throne is established through righteousness. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. A king's wrath is a messenger of death, but a wise man will appease it. When a king's face brightens, it means life. His favor is like a rain cloud in spring. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver? The highway of the upright avoids evil. He who guards his way guards his life. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. The wise in heart are called discerning, and pleasant words promote instruction. Understanding is a fountain of life to those who have it, but folly brings punishment to fools. A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Pleasant words are honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. The laborer's appetite works for him. His hunger drives him on. A scoundrel plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him down a path that is not good. He who winks with his eyes plotting perversity. He who purses his lips is bent on evil. Gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life. Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The title for today's message and the main point for today's message is the Lord controls the outcome. We see that throughout this chapter in repeated Proverbs. And we'll start off in verse 1. Look at verse 1. To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. Have you ever thought ahead of time about what you wanted to say, and then when you tried to say it, it didn't come out the way you planned? Anybody ever have that experience? We've all been in a situation where we really wanted to make a good impression, we really wanted to say the right thing, and when we went to say it, it just came out wrong. You and I can make all kinds of plans, but God is still ultimately in control of the outcome. And we need to understand that. Now, there are two things that you can do in response to that. One is to be constantly frustrated because God might not let you have your way. The other is to realize God is exceedingly wise. He knows all things. And He is working everything together for a good outcome for those who belong to Him. So, you can plan. The plans of the heart belong to man. But the Lord determines what actually happens. He determines the outcome. We're going to see that repeatedly in this chapter. Verse 2, all a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Again, I cannot count the number of times when I thought I was doing something for good reasons, only to realize later as the Lord convicted me that no, I had a whole different set of motives that I was not willing to even think about. There were other things at work in my heart that were not honoring to the Lord. They were not unselfish. They were prideful or hoping for a better outcome. All of us are going to have mixed motives. We've talked about that when we looked at the life of King David. We're all going to have mixed motives. But God sees our motivation. God knows what's in our heart. He doesn't just look at what we're doing, He looks at why we're doing it. Verse 3, commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. Does this mean I'll always get my way? No, it means you trust the Lord, seek to do what He says, and the outcome is going to end up being a good thing. Your plans will succeed, meaning if you are walking in the Lord's ways in whatever you do, God will make sure that the outcome is good. Why? Verse 4, because the Lord works out everything for His own ends. That's what we're talking about. The Lord controls the outcome. The Lord works out everything for His own ends, for His purpose. He's in control here. Even the wicked for a day of disaster. God has a plan that encompasses all the details. Then in verse 5, another note is sounded. It has to do with pride. Verse 5, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this. They will not go unpunished. Look at verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Verse 19, better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. If you are humble, verse 20 will describe your life. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. When you're prideful, you think you've got it made. You think your ways are best. You think you've got it all figured out. You're very favorably impressed with yourself. Pride goes before a fall. If you think you are really great, you're gonna fall. It is guaranteed. It's not something that may happen. Well, watch out. If you have a really super high opinion of yourself, you could end up embarrassing yourself. No, if you have a really high opinion of yourself, God will embarrass you. And it's the mercy of God to do so. Because there is only one in the universe who warrants our worship, and it's God. So if we start giving our affection to other things, acting as if that's what really matters, God is going to destroy our idols. And if you think you are fantastic, watch out. Because God guarantees, he guarantees that he opposes the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. So, whoever gives heed to instruction, whoever is humble and saying, I know I don't have it all figured out, I need help, I need direction. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. It is through, verse 6, it is through the fear of the Lord that a man avoids evil. And when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Therefore, it is better to have just a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. Why? Because God controls the outcome. You may be thinking, oh, I ripped that guy off. Look at all I got. Look at all you got. You better enjoy it for a few minutes because God's going to take it away from you. God guarantees that he's in control of the outcome and that he will avenge those who are oppressed against those who oppress them.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere, and everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Verse 9. In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Go back to verse 1. To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. Do you see a pattern here? God controls the outcome. Verses 11 and following talk about the importance of being honest in our business dealings. Honest scales and balances are from the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of his making. Verse 13, kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. Does that mean that every king is a good king and values these things? No. But a real king does. The others are imposters. The others are put there as punishment to a wicked people. I'll tell you, in this country, we have some really bad people in government. We have some good people too, but we have some really bad people in government. Why is that? Well, according to Scripture, it's because God gives those kinds of rulers to people who despise God's rule. If you do not want God to rule over you, God will give you something less than God to rule over you. If you're not going to worship the God who is God, you will end up giving yourself in worship to something that is less than God. And so when a country has really bad rulers, it's an indication that the people are saying no to God's rule. When the people want God to rule, God will give them godly rulers. That's the pattern all through history. If people are eager to do God's will, there may be suffering, there may be persecution, but the outcome, the end game, is that God's reign is established. So, honesty in business and in communication are valued by those who fear the Lord. Verse 16, how much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. What is he saying? He's saying that money is not as valuable as knowing what God says and doing it. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Understanding has to do with seeing things as they really are. And so that is more valuable than money. If you make millions of dollars, but you don't know what to do with it, you will end up like most of the professional athletes. When you get a little older and you can do research, do a research project about what happens to the wealth of most people who make tons of money in sports or the entertainment industry. They end up losing it because they don't have understanding. If I gave you $10 million, I don't have $10 million. If I gave you $10 million, 10 years later, would you have more than $10 million or less than $10 million? Depends on whether or not you have understanding. A man with understanding inherited millions of dollars and felt called to ministry and went to seminary. And by the time he finished seminary, he had given away half of his inheritance. So he started out with this much money, and after a few years, he only had this much money. But he was a man of understanding, because he didn't lose his money. He invested it in the spread of the gospel. That's understanding. That's wisdom. But I'm telling you, most people, if you ask them, will take the money. Okay? I mean, that's really where our security is. Jesus says you can't serve God and money. You can't. Jesus says broad is the way that leads to destruction and many travel on it. Narrow is the way that leads to life. I just want to ask you honestly, where's your heart? What are you after? What do you think will provide satisfaction and peace and security? If you think it's money, think again. I'm not going to tell you all my theories about where our economy is likely headed. I'm just going to tell you this. Your security had better be in the Lord, because if it's in anything else, you have been set up. Our security is in the Lord. And God never fails to care for his own. Verse 21, the wise in heart are called discerning, and pleasant words promote instruction. Understanding is a fountain of life to those who have it, but folly brings punishment to fools. Look at verse 23. A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. I thought we just heard something about promoting instruction. We did back in verse 21. Now look at verse 24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. God says that what we say actually has an impact on other people. And if we say the right thing from him, it brings comfort and joy and healing and instruction. And that's what we should aspire to. That's what we should want coming forth from our mouth. Do you say things that encourage people and build people up, or do you say things that tear people down? What we need is to desire for God to use us for his glory. God knows our heart. God knows our motives. The fact of the matter is, God will control the outcome as we yield ourselves to him. Verse 26 says, the laborer's appetite works for him. His hunger drives him on. Now, we've just heard that God knows our motives. Let me tell you something. If the only motive you have for working is just because it's the only way you can get your next meal, that's not the best motive for work, but it beats not working. People who think that they should just be fed for doing nothing, God disagrees. There are people who cannot work, who cannot take care of themselves. They need our compassionate support. But to pay people not to work, to take away the incentive for working by making it so that you will be better off financially if you don't get a job, that is evil. It's not just bad economics. It's not just bad politics. It is evil. It is absolutely evil. And you and I need to understand that and realize the government is not doing any favors for the people it enslaves through the welfare system. So, the laborer's appetite works for him. He benefits from the fact that his hunger drives him on because it gets him to do the right thing, which is to work. Work and work hard. Look at verse 28. A perverse man stirs up dissension. A gossip separates close friends. Verses 27, 28, 29, 30 are all talking about bad ways that speech can be used. To stir up dissension, to separate close friends, to lead people into violence, that's destructive. It's like a scorching fire, we read in verse 27. Verse 32, better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Let me ask you, which are you more impressed with? Somebody who's able to overlook an offense or somebody who never lets anybody get away with saying or doing anything that is offensive? The second person's an idiot. It means somebody who puts themselves in the place of God and does a very bad job imitating him. I am astounded. I was talking with God yesterday about how absolutely I'm astounded at his patience and his mercy and his grace. As I watched the sunset last evening, and it was so magnificent, and I thought, God, why don't you just destroy us all? What is the deal? You are so amazingly merciful and patient and kind. Just blows me away. Why would God overlook for so long people who are begging for his wrath by their behavior? God is marvelously patient and kind and forgiving and willing to overlook offense after offense after offense and to forgive people who ask forgiveness. If we're going to be like him, we're going to have to be like that. So, it's better to be a patient man than a warrior. A man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Does that mean it's easier to conquer a city than it is to exert self-control? Yeah, actually it does. It's easier to fight other people than it is to control yourself. Good news is the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. So the one you need to yield to is him. And he will give you self-control. Verse 33 is the final reminder that the Lord controls the outcome. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. This is an ancient way of determining what God was saying to his people. And what they knew was this. Flipping a coin may seem random. Casting the lot may seem random. But God is in control, even of things that seem random. random to us. God controls the outcome.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.